And now on Nights with Steve Price, it's time for Health Matters. Thanks to Sydney Adventist Hospital. Healthcare, education, research, yours for life.
Very special guest tonight, Roel Castillo, who is the manager of sterile processing at the Sydney Adventist Hospital. Now, when Roel entered the studio, I was a bit unsure whether I should shake his hand because clearly we all need to have a discussion about sterilisation. It's a very dangerous thing when you start spreading germs around. In fact, right, I haven't told Roel this yet, but I had to move my office today because I share it with another presenter who brought his daughter in who was suffering from gastro. So I deliberately didn't go into my office. Roel, nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much.
Gastro is not good, is it? That can spread.
Yes, I think you've got the right decision there.
Yeah, I never went into that office today, so you're very safe.
Thank you.
You'd never want that in a hospital. I presume it's happened, but it must be very difficult.
It would be very difficult. It's the process of having to do with infection control, and it's massive than myself. So, yes, it is very difficult.
So tell me about your training. How did you come to get interested in the issue of sterilization?
The dynamics of the medical device has evolved as much as the technology and advances in medicine has evolved. Surgeries has evolved so much that medical device manufacturing has to come up with the level of how they're being reprocessed. The question is, from a sterile processing perspective, do we clean them properly and correctly to make sure that the patients would be given quality medical devices so as it's intended to be?
So you are in charge of making sure those devices are completely sterile. No one wants to be operated on by something that isn't. How do you achieve that?
There are so many aspects in achieving this things, Steve. It's all about patient safety. It's all about compliance out there. We need to make sure that we attend to these medical devices that's been used in between patients. So these medical devices has been manufactured with the intention of being reprocessed so that it will be reused in between patients.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be economically sensible to throw everything out after one use, right?
Yeah. So there will be single-use items, unfortunately. And you were right. It's disgraceful. And there's just some economics to it as well as environmental concerns as well. But in the meantime, what we intend as sterile processing staff is to make sure that they are reprocessed at the level of quality of which they have been designed from when they are new. They're designed to be new and the functionality is the same, let alone the infections associated with their use. So these medical devices is exposed during surgeries and procedures with blood contaminations, tissues, body fluids. And it will be a good area where microorganisms grow. And what we do is to clean them appropriately, make sure that these possible sources of infection is free when it's being used for the next patient.
So what type of items are we talking about?
There's so many items into play here. They are being recognized according to what they are intended to use. For example, non-critical items that come in contact with intact skin, for example, like the stethoscopes. Mm-hmm. Those are non-critical items which you just need to be cleaned properly according to the manufacturer's instructions for cleaning. Of course, it's like a detailed cleaning. It's not a normal cleaning for you. There are chemicals that's been registered with the TGO 54 as required by Australian standards for you to use that in order to be safely used in between patients. Semi-critical items, for example, will be laryngoscope blades or face masks they used on anesthetics, needs to be high-level disinfected. And, of course, the items that goes in otherwise sterile cavities.
Having a tube put down your throat.
So it's a tube put in your throat. It's a semi-critical item. Therefore, it needs high-level disinfection at the minimum. But at the sand, we do sterilize them. So it's a higher level of reprocessing altogether. So to make sure that the risk associated with its reuse is now being contained at a higher level of quality it's supposed to have.
What's the sterilization process? How do you take, say, a scalpel, for example, or a forcep that's been used in an operation internally on someone? How do you take that back and present it again in shape that it can be used again? What do you do to it?
Yes, first and foremost, in the operating theaters, they need to have an initial treatment, so you speak, to get rid of initial contamination. Theater nurses also need to count those instruments before sending it to us to make sure that nothing is retained on the patients after the surgery as well. And when
so if you have eight things there in the beginning, you need eight things there at the
end. Yes, exactly. That should be the case. That's a requirement for you to do to ensure there's things are accounted for. Mm-hmm. And after that, it will be sent to sterile processing. And in sterile processing, we actually count again. There's another count happening in sterile processing even before we start the cleaning. And after that, if it's been documented that there are eight actual instruments, as you've said, then we've established that. Therefore, we can now proceed to the actual cleaning process based on the manufacturer's requirements for cleaning.
And how does that cleaning operate? What do you use? Steam? Do you use?
Yes. So it's a whole process, stage by stage. We do cleaning first. We have a manual cleaning process if it's required by the manufacturer to only withstand manual cleaning. If it's automated cleaning and therefore we can put it in a machine. And after that, therefore, if we have established that the cleaning stage has been accomplished and delivered the level of quality that it merits further reprocessing, and therefore we have what we call inspection, packing, and assembly. In that inspection and packing and assembly, we need to inspect for cleanliness, dryness, functionality, completeness of the medical device in itself. So those are the small things which people doesn't know a lot. We need to make sure the functionality, for example, that the scalpel handle is size 3 or size 5 or size 7 and whatever, whatnot. That needs to be specific to the specific surgery it's required to be used. And the functionality also is about checking the angulation, the length, if the scissors are sharp, for example, the needle holder is the right size and things like that and whatnot. And if it's that been established again, and therefore we now have to repackage them and put them in a packaging container to be present to be now sterilized on a different process now, which is the sterilization of all the medical devices. So in this sterilization process, going back to your question, we do reprocess medical devices according to the manufacturer's requirements for reprocessing, because we just don't care about the level of sterility of the item. We care also about the functionality of the item. So some medical devices could not withstand the process of high level, for example, temperature and pressure that's delivered through steam process. So we have a low temperature reprocessing. And if all those items has been identified, and therefore we can now choose which pathways those instruments will go to, and then therefore we can put them in those particular sterilizers that they're designed to be reprocessed with.
I imagine storage is very important.
Yes, storage is very important. Sydney Adventist Hospital is compliant with Australian Standard 1668.2, which is all about air exchanges and all those sort of stuff that require you to be able to maintain the integrity of the sterile item and manage that according to what's required of you.
So once you take, say, let's use again a scalpel, it's used, you then sterilize it for reuse. Do you then repackage it?
Yes, there's a packaging entailed to it. So there is now some sort of a barrier, if you may, of that sterile item to make sure that that barrier doesn't allow the ingress of microorganisms again, to make sure that it can be presented as sterile again when it's going to be used before the patient.
And who decides when you get to the point where an item has run its course, that it has, you can't use it anymore, that you have to move on and get more?
It's all a part of the, if we go back to the stages.
So there'd be protocols.
There are protocols in place. So we all go back to the stages of pre-processing when we will establish the functionality of an item. So the functionality of an item is started at SP when we have to check on the functionality, and therefore if it's not functioning and therefore its use-by date has been achieved. Number two, we have an instrument tracking system to achieve that. So there's an instrument tracking software at Sydney Adventist Hospital, which is monitoring all those, how many times it's going to be used. For example, 100 times. So some medical devices has 100 times, 20 times, and 9 months or whatever. And when you try to produce that particular type of instrument, it wouldn't allow you to do that. So it's a system in place.
Barcodes?
Barcoding. Sort of, and a delegation of a unique identifier.
Strange question for you. Why, when we go to hospital and go to surgery, do we have to put a hair net on? What is it about our hair that creates a problem?
It's all about contamination of those items. So when you go to surgery, any foreign material that doesn't belong to the set is considered a contamination. So if a hair falls up on a tray, for example, that's been sterilized, and therefore our theater nurse says, hang on a moment, this is unsterile, it's got Steve's hair on it, or something like that. like that, and then they'll change altogether. All of those setups will need to be changed because there's a question of the integrity of the sterility of those medical devices.
I'm sure the SAN does it better than anyone else. Roel Castillo, a pleasure to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you kindly.